This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, we've been talking the last few weeks about a biblical worldview and how it's absolutely necessary to see the world through the lenses of Scripture. But today, along with that, we're going to tackle one of the major, if not the major, hot-button issue of the day, racism. The foundational passage for this issue is simple. It's Genesis 1:26, where God says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And Genesis 1:27, the finishing touch, is, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." So God made man and woman in his image so that the world would be filled with the reflections of his beauty, his imagination, and even his likeness. Think of it. We have the imprint of our living and loving God stamped onto our soul. We humans are carriers of the most beautiful picture in the universe, the very likeness of the living, loving, creative God. And at present, there are 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and each one of those is a living mirror of the reflection of the Creator's imagination and beauty. The tragedy of this is that it's likely possible that 6 billion of them don't recognize that truth. And as such, they're missing out on living the most beautiful life possible as reflections of a majestic Creator who fashioned them with His own creative hands. Now think about it for a moment. Since we are created in the image of God, ought we not look at each and every person we meet as made in the image of God? Since this is true, doesn't this mean that each one of us on the face of the earth is just as important, just as valuable, and just as precious as every other person? And this brings us to the heart of our discussion today, the reality that so many of us don't see each other as equals. That's the motivating factor behind the practice of racism. Now let's define what racism is. Racism is simply the practice of making a decision or evaluating the worth, the character, status, importance, intelligence, integrity, and dignity of another person based on that person's skin color or ethnic origin. That's racism in a nutshell, and it's wrong. So when any of us makes a decision on whether or not we're better than someone based on the color of their skin, the color of their hair, the shape of their eyes, or whatever, that's a racist act, period. And it doesn't matter who does it. If you decide the value of another person based on those characteristics, that's racism, period. The sad truth is that racism has been around, along with its sinister first cousin, race-based slavery, since the book of Genesis. An early example of this could be the willingness of the Ishmaelites to buy Joseph from his brothers and sell him as a slave in Egypt. But the ancient world has many examples of racism. Well, there are the Greeks and the Persians. The Greeks and what would now be the present-day Turks, then the Romans against everybody. Then there's, in the modern time, the Turks' hatred of the Armenians, leading to the Turkish genocide against them. Then there's, of course, Hitler's belief in a master race of blonde-haired Europeans, the Aryans he called them, which resulted in the massacre of 6 million Jews, along with Gypsies, Russians, and anyone else who got in the way. And if that wasn't enough, there was the 1994 Rwandan bloodbath where the Tutsis and the Hutus killed over 100,000 people. combined. Presently, there's now the Chinese ghoulish and inhumane treatment of the Uyghurs. Some of the medical experiments they perform on the Uyghurs make Joseph Mengele's acts look like child's play. But that's race-based, and it's cruel and evil. Now, it may be astounding for us to note that the contemporary manifestations of modern racism even claim to have an intellectual basis. Ideas have consequences, and such is the case with what we're getting ready to cover. While we don't want to go into the minute details, Karl Marx, the author of the Communist Manifesto, published in 1848, along with Frederick Engels, had a theory of race and wrote that race is a determining factor in how societies advance or decline. In an essay written for the Journal of Political Ideologies, the writer said that while not writing about race extensively, both Marx and Engels had an element of racism in their writing. So again, Marx and Engels published that book in 1848, but perhaps the most damaging book to the impact of race and culture was Charles Darwin's The Origin of Species. Darwin called the process of species development natural selection. That's the theory that the more dominant genes and traits survive and bring about an upward movement of any species. Now, while he never used the term I'm getting ready to use, the tragedy is that this natural selection eventually morphed into social Darwinism and a phenomenon called the survival of the fittest. And from there came only the strong survive. And thus it morphed into the idea, or was adapted to the idea, that one race is superior to another. It might be an interesting side note that Marx dedicated a copy of his co-authored book, Das Kapital, to Charles Darwin. Because in the note, Marx said he was an amazing admirer of Darwin's theory. Now, we can't go along this road of talking about the development of a master race based on the ideas of natural selection or the survival of the fittest without mentioning Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger. In her book, The Pivot of Civilization, she wrote about preventing those she called feeble-minded from being able to reproduce. She discussed forced sterilization of feeble-minded and those considered inferior so they would not be able to reproduce and then weaken and lower the human gene pool. What's not as well known about Sanger's beliefs is that she's strongly thought to have had racist beliefs. In 1926, she spoke before a group of women members of the Ku Klux Klan at one of their conventions in Silver Lake, New Jersey. Although there's a dispute over whether a photograph actually shows her at this convention, the women Klan members displayed a banner welcoming her to their convention. Now that begs the question, why would they invite Margaret Sanger, and why would she accept? And the more telling evidence about her beliefs are the two things I'm getting ready to cover. On a December 10th, 1939 letter to a fellow named Clarence Gamble, Margaret Sanger wrote, "The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members." Was the comment serious? And was she seriously a racist? Well, a July 28, 2020 story in the Wall Street Journal says that Planned Parenthood of New York intends to remove the statue of Margaret Sanger from in front of their headquarters. More than 300 former or current staff members want the statue removed because, in a statement, they said, "Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist white woman. That is a part of our history that cannot be changed." They can remove the statue, but they need to do more than that. Actual stats from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that black women are 13% of the female population in the United States, but in 2016, 38% of all the abortions were performed on black women. And a lot of those clinics that they construct happen to be in largely black neighborhoods. Coincidence? You can decide. At the very least, racism, and its most innocent level, if there is one, racism is shallow and superficial. If you decide the value of a person based on their color, you're only looking at the outside of that person. You're basing your opinion of them because of how they look. The best scripture for this is found in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what's visible, but the Lord sees the heart." The heart is from where we build and nurture our character, our personality, what makes us tick. So the value and the worth of a person isn't the things that are only skin deep. It's what's in their heart. God made all of us to be beautiful mirrors of His creative glory. Our task is to work to heal the wounds and know that we can stand against racism and know that all lives matter from a biblical point of view. We don't have to go through political organizations that cover up their true objectives with nice-sounding rhetoric. God's very example of creation shows us that He loves everyone and that we're all equal in His eyes. The most famous verse of salvation says that whosoever believes in Him. So know this. When we judge someone based on their skin, their hair, their eyes, we are committing a sin. More than that, we are actually committing an act of rebellion, cosmic treason, if you will, towards the Creator. We are showing contempt for the wondrous glory, the beauty, and imagination of our holy God. And again, that's a sin, period. It's an affront to the sovereignty of God, and if we're guilty of that, our only option is to fall on our knees before the Lord in repentance and confession, pleading with Him for His mercy, His grace, and forgiveness. However, if you've repented of your sin of racism, it's time to take the initiative and show the living truth of God's Word to the world. Be a healer. Reach out and bridge those gaps that linger between the kaleidoscope of people who live on this earth and closer to home. Let's choose our friends, the people with whom we associate, as Martin Luther King Jr. said, not based on the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Let's love our brothers and sisters in Christ who represent people from every language, people, tribe, and nation. Because after all, in that picture in Revelation is a mass of people from every corner of the world, from all races, standing around the throne in unity, raising their song of praise to the glorious one. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.